Now, this morning we have a guest joining us here in our studios, Mark McNeese, who is the fire chief of the Atlantic Fire Department, in with us this morning. Thanks for coming by.
You're welcome, Jim. Thanks for inviting.
It's always an important time to talk about fire safety, but you know, unfortunately, we've already had one incident here this winter in the community. There have been other incidents around the state already where folks are using kind of auxiliary heat sources, and those can be an issue if you don't use them properly.
Well, they really can be. A few years ago we had quite a rash of space heater fires. Mm-hmm. And since that time, you know, we, along with the help of you, have really done an education campaign, and we've seen a real drop in those. So, you know, I think that helped a lot. People are more aware of it, yet accidents still happen, things still occur. So it pays to go back and review what needs to be done with these. You know, even the newer space heaters, they have some safety in it that wasn't in some of the old ones. However, they're still dangerous, and they're still, you have to be wary and cognizant of what they can do, where they should be used, where you've got them, and how you're using them.
And there's so many things that sometimes you can't control, too. Pets, right. Children sometimes.
Right.
When you turn your head, you know what kind of trouble they can get into real fast.
Yep.
You know, there are other issues there, too. We just have to be very safe about them. When I heard that story a couple of weeks ago, I'm not going to throw names around, but the gal here in town, the first thing I thought of was, she's lucky to be alive.
She's very lucky. When you wake up and flames are by your head, she's extremely lucky and very fortunate, and we're very pleased that she was able to get out. But, you know, in that situation, it was an older one, and there are a lot of those around, and not one you would, you know, it's still a modern plastic one, but it had some age on it. And those get brittle after a while, and the parts wear out. The thing with hers was that there was so much material in the house, in the bedroom, and close to it, in the proximity of it. And that's where people fail a lot in what they're doing, is that, you know, those, they're called a space heater. They also need space. They need, you know, a couple feet around them. It's too easy if you've got it set close to a bed where, you know, maybe you kick a blanket off onto it or something, clothes fall off, just clothing in the bedroom. I've seen all sorts of things in the past few years where things were too close to the space heater and were combustible, and whether the space heater malfunctioned or it was just the heat from it caused it. You know, a couple things can occur there. And on this one, we really didn't know whether it was a malfunction or just stuff too close to it. It really doesn't matter. In this case, it was just the location of it and the material around it was too close. And there was another one in the home, too, that she was using that was even older, that, you know, poses a hazard in and of itself just because of its age. So, you know, one thing when we go over and we talk about that, we've mentioned the space that needs to be around those. And what we really saw years ago, and the reason that a lot of these space heaters are being used, is because they're usually in older homes. And in those older homes, there's old wiring, mm-hmm. or there's a lack of wiring. And when we look at those in our society today and how much we have electrical in the home, doesn't take very long to overload that circuit. So, you know, we've preached, you know, try to make a dedicated line. And when I say dedicated, I mean, you know, try to figure out what's on those plugs on the wall. Is it, does it control the lights in your room too? You know, we used to have in our kitchen, I couldn't run the microwave and have the lights on and run a blender or anything else. I'd blow the circuit. We've since added new wiring in. So, we've got that because it would overload and that heats the wire up. And you've got to remember that these space heaters, at a minimum, are running 15 watt, and that is a lot of what some of these older homes were. And if it's above that, 25 or 30 watts, this drawing, a lot of your breakers or your old fuses aren't going to take that. And then you compound it with other things plugged in, and you're going to cook the wire.
Probably shouldn't use extension cords.
No, definitely not. And this one didn't. It was plugged in directly, but we've seen a lot of those. And the extension cords usually don't have near the gauge of wiring, so they overheat quickly. I've seen those and never ever, and even if it's a regular cord, you know, I've seen them run under rugs. You don't want to lay anything on top of it because that traps the heat in there, so that can cause a problem with the cord as well. So, you know, some common sense things, but then, you know, I understand why people might put it under a rug, don't want to trip over it, don't want to see it, but that's dangerous. So, you know, no, if you're plugging in a space heater, you know, no extension cords with it, just plug it directly in, don't cover it up.
We talk space heaters a lot, but there are other alternate sources of heat that folks mm-hmm. will use, including like a fireplace, for example. Yeah. Make sure you're burning proper things in the fireplace, things that aren't going to spark at you. You know, if you're using a wood burner or a pellet mm-hmm. burning stove, something like that, you know, make sure you're doing them in a safe manner. Use it the way it's intended.
Right. And most of those will be installed in the correct area, but like you said, and one thing is what you're burning. And actually this year, I've just by smell and in my job walking around, I've noticed, I would say, an uptick in wood burning. Maybe it's just because of the weather is perfect for it, but more people are doing it. And, you know, whether it's green wood or dry wood, have you had your chimney cleaned forever? You know, you can buy that to do your own sweep down through there and get the creosote out mm-hmm. if it's there. Because, you know, we haven't had a chimney fire for years because it kind of faded away. But it's easy to come back. And if they're doing it now and it hasn't been cleaned, you know, you could have an issue there. Same thing, keep things away. Even if it's a fireplace that's built in the room, you know, you want to keep things back that doesn't spark out and set it going. So, you know, just common sense safety things, but those serve a great purpose and do a great job, but you got to respect them. And one thing I would throw in on the space heaters too, and even a fireplace, if you're going to leave it, you should never use a space heater overnight. I know you want the chill at night and make it cozy, but that's when it's not being monitored the most. And that, you know, if you're out of the house as well, just it's not a wise idea to do that and leave it. Same with the fireplace. If it's going to go, you know, make sure it's not a roaring blaze when you go. That if it's got grates, glass, make sure they're closed and do what you can. Hopefully it's got one of those blowers on it and you can blow the heat off and you're fine. But it going to sleep with anything like that on, you're taking a risk.
Curl up with an extra blanket.
There you go.
That would do the job.
That's exactly
right. Along kind of the same lines, too, because you mentioned like cords dangling under mm-hmm. carpets and whatever else. What's prevalent this time of the year? Christmas decorations, Christmas lights. It's amazing yep. how much electricity can be run through those little lights.
That's right. That's right. And those, again, we see quite a few that will be plugged into the same outlet, the same, you know, cords. Fortunately, some of the newer ones have their own fuses in there, and if you get too much, they'll blow. And if that's happening, then you obviously have an overloaded circuit. It's best, you know, to spread those out as far as you can when you're doing that and within the home. If you have some older ones, I really look at them because they get brittle over time too, and they're the ones that are going to overheat and draw to that. If you have a live tree, of course, you know, there's issues with that. We have one, I love them. The Lions one here, I give them a plug in Atlantic, are very fresh right now, but you know, you don't want to set them next to a furnace vent where you're going to dry it out faster. You know, make sure they're watered, make sure you're using, you know, lights are fairly inexpensive. You got an old set, I'd go get a new set put on the tree.
Yeah.
And a lot of these LEDs, which burn cooler, which are a great, great thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. If they're brittle, cracked, if you see fray wires, probably not a good thing to use those at that point. You want to move those on. And if they didn't already during Fire Prevention Week in, October, mm-hmm. Maybe they want to consider thinking about those smoke detectors and the batteries that are there.
Most definitely. And in fact, you know, we preach about it. We went through the whole thing, and then I realized about 3 weeks ago that I didn't do mine. So they just all got new batteries here not very long ago. If you didn't do it, you know, go do it. A lot of these batteries, you just never know how long they're going to last, and they're not that expensive. So it's just, you know, maybe you can reuse them in something else if you pull them out, but let's get a fresh one in there. That is the biggest life-saving, cheapest installation that you can do in your home is smoke detectors. We gave away quite a few that we had through the project from the state fire marshal when we had our pancake breakfast and open house here. We still have some at the station. You know, if you're in desperate need of them, we can hook you up with one or two. I'd rather see that than have none in the house. Or if you know, if they're over 10 years old, which most people don't know how old they are in their home, they're guessing. The recommendation is to replace them too, just because they malfunction after amount of time. And then I would just say, if you're putting that up, you know, grab a marker on the back and put a date on there so you can look later and figure out the age of them that they were installed. So smoke detector is by far the biggest lifesaver, and we have seen that many, many times where people are alerted, and then unfortunately we read too much across the state where somebody has perished in a fire and had no working smoke detectors at all, or batteries were dead. So
things that can be fixed.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Easily.
And if we get to that point where we need fire extinguishers, we're kind of working our progression through this.
We are.
If we get to that point where you need fire extinguishers, Do you have them in your home? Do you know where they are? And more importantly, do they work when you need them?
Right. And we have a lot of people may or may not know that about a year ago, we kind of took over Chad Lansdowne's business, and we started the AFD extinguisher service. So within the fire department, we have, and we can do sales and service on that, help with installation, give you advice, recharge, do all that. You know, if you want to do that, you can call the station at 243-2146 is a non-emergency. You can swing out there. It's a doorbell on the front if it happens to be locked. If they don't hear you, give them a call. Sometimes they're working in there or something's loud and they may not notice it. But yeah, fire extinguishers, you know, you don't think of that so much in your house, but you know, they make specific small ones for the kitchen area. Depending on what you've got in your house, you know, a garage is a good place to have one down around the furnace room. The kitchen, as I said, anywhere where you've got a big area where you've, you know, there's a lot of combustibles in everybody's home, and stuff that goes up very quickly. So it's a good thing to have some. You know, you don't, may not be just like a business or a manufacturing where you need a tremendous amount of them, but having one there and one you know that works and is a quality one is huge, because that can make the difference in stopping a fire before we get there or something is totally out of control. And, you know, they're the quality ones, you pay for what you get. They're not super expensive, but, you know, you're going to have a bit of an outlay, but it's so worth having on hand. And if needed, you're really going to want it.
I think it's gift-giving season, too.
It is. It is. They make a great Christmas gift.
Along with smoke detectors and those kinds of things as well. So
yep.
Yeah, if you really love someone, let them know you really care about their life.
It is. And that's a good, you know, those are a need. Those are a need.
So absolutely.
Good practical gift.
Yeah, I think we've all learned by now that if you get a sudden grease fire on the stove and you try to throw water on it, all you're doing is making it worse.
Not good.
No, you need those fire extinguishers too. Yep. Very good. Well, Mark, thanks so much for coming in here today.
Thank
you. And we just want everybody to be safe and stay warm, of course, during this winter season.
Most definitely want a safe holiday season.